Good evening, everyone. And thank you, brothers. My devotional tonight is from a song that Brother Albert led one of these past Wednesdays. And that song just happened to be Psalms 702, Trust and Obey. After singing that song, the words came to me, trust and obey. And that is what I wanted to do my devotional tonight, is trust and obey. It's not particularly the song, but just trust and obey. The question is, how do we trust in people? We all trust firefighters, paramedics like our brother Joel, policemen, preachers, and our children trust us. So then why wouldn't it be great if only we all had that same trust in our Heavenly Father, our Lord God? Do we truly trust in our God? Can we have trust but not obey? Can we obey and not have trust? The answer is no. Of course not. Trust and obey comes hand in hand. So we need to learn more about who He is, and that is our Lord God. Romans 10:17 says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The Creator. Genesis 1:1. In the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. Psalms 8:3. When I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars, which thou hast ordained. Psalms 19:1. The heavens declared the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Faithful. 1 Corinthians 1:9. God is faithful, by whom ye were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Love. 1 John 4:7-8. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God, and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. To be greatly feared. Psalms 89:7 says, God is greatly to be feared in the assembly of the saints, and to be had in reverence of all them that are about him. Ecclesiastes 12:13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. God is long-suffering. 2 Peter 3:9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to repentance. Acts 17:30. And the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. These are just a few examples of who our God is. Knowing that He is faithful and has promised to save us. Do we trust God enough to obey Him? Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Psalms 37:3. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Psalms 84:11-12 says, for the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will be withhold from them that walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man trusteth in thee. Isaiah 50:10. Who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of his servant, that walketh in darkness and hath no light? Let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his God. One example in Genesis, Joseph, his faith, even while in slavery or in prison, Joseph believed in what he could not see. He believed in God who would bring good from even the most terrible circumstances. Moses, we all know the story of Moses and how great his trust and obedience to our Lord God. Abraham, to sacrifice his only son, his trust and obedience. Ezekiel comes to mind since we have been studying in the book of Ezekiel. There are many other examples in the Bible of trust and obedience. But the greatest example is our Lord Jesus Christ. The trust and obedience he exemplified to the Lord God. God declared the authority of Christ. Matthew 17:5 says, while be ye spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, Hebrews 12:2 says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was before him endureth the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. You see, obedience is not always easy, and we know that, but it's only as hard as you yourself make it to be. Do we trust enough to worship our God? When Christians abstain from church, they are depriving themselves of all the benefits of the body. 1 Corinthians 12:12 says, for as the body is one and hath many members, all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. John 4:19-24, the Samaritan woman. The woman saith unto her, sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worship in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus saith unto her, woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. We see that we must have enough trust and obedience and love of the Lord and worship not just in the morning, but also in the evening worship. To come and worship when the doors are open. I asked this question one time, one Sunday morning. I hope to see you come back this evening and worship. But I was given that he had been working on his house and that what he was going to work also on this evening. You see, the answer didn't surprise me. But that's sad to hear that a person rather work on his house than to work and labor in the house of the Lord. This is where we should be worshiping and laboring together. To have eternal gain than to have eternal glory with the Lord. We are his children, and he is our God. Where is the effort? There must be effort. We must have obedient faith. Our salvation is at stake. Our Lord knows our heart. He knows when we can come to worship and when we can't. We cannot keep anything from our Lord God. Next, do we trust and obey enough in ourselves to use the spiritual gifts we are given? The purpose of spiritual gifts is to promote the common good of the body of Christ. 1 Corinthians 12:7 says, "But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal, to build up the church." 1 Corinthians 14:12. "Even so ye, for as much as you are zealous of the spiritual gifts, seek that ye may excel to the edifying of the church, and to prepare us each for works of service, until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God, and to become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ." Ephesians 4:12-13. "For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of one knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the fullness of Christ." Each person, upon accepting the gift of salvation through Jesus Christ, receives the Holy Spirit inside as a seal of salvation. Ephesians 1:12-14. "That we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance unto the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory." You see, when we have received Jesus Christ into our life as Lord and Savior and become a Christian, believer in God, you receive your inheritance. We've heard about that. As a child of God, and with this, your spiritual gifts were also given unto you to be used for God's purpose. Brothers and sisters, we all have a spiritual gift, and we do. Each different in its own way. We're all different. Not all can be an elder or a deacon, but you must find what God has given you for work of the Lord. Go to the Lord in prayer and ask what your spiritual gift is, and he will answer. And the Lord and Obed can chip at your comfort zone, and you can join me. You see, I had to put this in. You see, I'm a deacon now, and Obed is still chipping at my comfort zone. But that's okay, and I know that. Because sometimes we do need to be pushed. Get us started, and I'm thankful for that, and to keep us focused. I still get afraid when I go up to the front. Ask Obed. Ask Oren. We all get afraid, but once you get those first few words in, then the fear does go away. So, trust and obey. If we truly trust and obey these words written in our Bible, then we must give of ourselves to labor and use the spiritual gifts the Lord has given and worship Him. We all have a goal. We all have one goal, and that is heaven, a place where our Lord Jesus Christ has gone to prepare a place for us. John 14:2-3 says, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto thyself, that where I am, there ye may also." Our conclusion tonight is, do you trust in God enough to obey Him? Can you trust and not obey? No, of course not. You can't just trust. You cannot just trust the Word of God and not obey it. We must have humble obedience, putting our trust and faith in Him. Obedience is not always easy, but again, it's only as hard as you yourself make it to be. Now comes the time, if you believe in Jesus and want to be receive the remission of your sins and repent and be baptized to wash away your sin, or if you're in need of prayers for you, please come. Acts 22:16 says, "And now, why tarrest thou? Arise and be baptized, and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord." As we stand and sing the song of invitation,